Ha, well, this is our last night for the healing series. Has it been good? Has it been helpful? Yeah? Needs to be longer. I know, you could just like talk about it all the time. One of the things I was actually hoping to do, I always hope to do it, but there is a lot to talk about in regards to healing because there are a lot of components to it. But I actually wanted to just go out on the streets and go to Walmart and break up into teams and go just heal some people, because that's the best way to learn anything, is to just do it. It's to just do it, right? So, yeah. But some other time, we have done that before. We definitely want to do that again. We are going to be opening healing rooms next year, and we are going to have regular times that we will have the church building open, and we'll be advertising for people to come get healing. So we're going to have lots of chances to practice if you haven't practiced already. Has anybody, since we started the healing teachings, actually laid hands on somebody and saw somebody get healed? Yes, Karen, you have. Yeah. Awesome. That's great. Very cool. Scott, by the way, how's your hip? For reals? Yeah? Was it hurting on Sunday? Yeah? So for those of you that weren't here on Sunday, I was laying down on the ground just talking to the Lord during worship, and I felt this poke on my right hip, just like a poke. And I know enough, that's the primary way the Lord gives me words of knowledge. And so I got up and shared it. Who's got pain in their right hip? And Scott did. And we just released it. We didn't even lay hands on him. And did it go away right there on the spot? Yeah. Or was it? Yeah.
I mean, it might have been a little bit of pain when I got up, but way less
than that. Awesome. Praise God. Come on. That's great. All right, so we are going to talk about words of knowledge tonight. So let's pray, make the meeting official. Yeah? Hopefully we're praying at all times, right? Lord, we just thank you so much. Once again, that we have the opportunity to gather, Lord, freely, to gather in freedom without fear of persecution. And Lord, we're here to honor your word, and we're here to honor you. Jesus, you came healing the sick and casting out demons and destroying the works of the devil. And you commanded us in the Great Commission to do the exact same things that you told the disciples to do. That's raising the dead, that's healing the sick, that's casting out demons, that's preaching the good news to the poor. In our spheres of influence, in our cities, in our states, in the entire world. So, Lord, we ask that you would teach us. We ask, Lord, that you would give us a supernatural gift of faith and understanding. Lord, that these words of yours, these truths of yours, would pierce our hearts and that they would stick. That we would be able to remember them, and that more than anything, we would be able to walk in them. We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers, God. We want to be doers. So we bless you, we love you, and Holy Spirit, I just say help. Say help. Ha, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, I forgot to bring this book yesterday, but this is the book that I had referenced last week. It's Dr. Caroline Leaf. It's called Switch on Your Brain. A bunch of us at church have been going through it and are going through it. At one stage or another, but I wanted to reference that. If you haven't read this book, I highly encourage you to read it. Because we were speaking about truth last week. We were speaking about that the Word of God says, I put life and death in front of you. Choose life. There's so many scriptures that say that God's Word is life, that God's Word is healing to all of our flesh. And this is scientific proof that is true, that our thoughts change our DNA. And if we think the right thoughts long enough, right things will happen in our body and subsequently in our lives. So it's an outstanding book. I also would encourage you to get Dr. Henry Wright's book, A More Excellent Way. It's very challenging and very, very good. Also some scientific evidence that healing works and that even truth, meditating on truth, heals our physical bodies. A More Excellent Way. Also scientific proof that if we meditate on demonic lies or unhealthy things, that unhealthy things simply get produced. So I highly recommend those two books. And there's all kinds of other books that I could recommend, but that's enough for now. All right. Yeah. The spiritual roots of diseases, yes. Yes, so he goes into it, and again, it's not the greatest book ever written, because he was talking, and someone just literally recorded it and typed it all out. So it's really a conference that he spoke that got recorded. So it's not in real, you can just tell when you read it. It's more, you know, a little more conversational and speaking, but it's fantastic and very challenging. All right, so I just want to go over some practical things. I want to go over some questions. We're going to talk about words of knowledge and praying specifically for PTSD. When praying for people, unbelievers don't really have this problem for the most part. So when you're out in the streets, for the most part, unless you're praying for a Christian, you don't really need to train them how to receive prayer. But I actually had to be trained how to receive prayer. I had to be coached, I should say. It's not a big training session. But someone was praying for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I was sitting there just, oh, God, please do it. I love you. I honor you. And I was just praying and praying and praying and praying and, you know, saying everything that I could to try and convince God that I wanted this and that somehow I deserved it. And because I was a good boy and all kinds of stuff. And the guy that was praying for me simply after a while just had to tell me, you know, can you shut up and stop praying? And I was like, what? Like, stop praying? I mean, that's what we're here for, is to receive. And he said, no, when you are praying, the spirit is like a river within us, and you're releasing the river at me outside of yourself, and I'm trying to release the river into you, and they're just sitting there clashing. He said, just breathe. Relax. Don't pray. Just breathe. And it's really good advice, because when it comes to trying to get healed or trying to get deliverance or trying to get something else, many times we are trying to talk God into doing it. And the reality is, Scripture says that he has already done it. By his stripes, we have been healed. It's in the past tense in Peter. It's in the past tense. So he's already given us everything according to life and godliness. He's already done it. So it's not a matter of God doing something. It's a matter of his life being released into us. And we do that through declaration. We do that through the laying on of hands. And so he just said, just relax and breathe and receive. And I like to tell people that getting healed is as easy as breathing. That's how you take lungs into your air. Or that's how you take air into your lungs, right? Air is all around us. God has already provided it. We just go, and we suck it in. We received it. And healing is that easy. We can't convince God to do something that he, one, already has done, but two, wants to do. And we also can't convince him that we deserve it, because we don't. He wants to give it to us anyway. So we need to learn to receive. So if you're praying for a Christian, oftentimes, if you see them praying like crazy and going into intercession, just tell them, You don't need to do that. Please just stop. Right now, you need to be like a sponge. Be a dry sponge in water. What does a dry sponge in water do? They just suck it in. That's it. That's all you have to do. Okay? I'm telling you, I've prayed for some people and they're speaking in tongues and they're praying like crazy and nothing's happening. And I tell them, okay, relax. Just breathe. God is doing the giving. You're doing the receiving. Just breathe. He wants to give this to you. And then the healing comes. Oftentimes I will tell people, and this especially goes for unbelievers, but this is actually really good for Christians too. When I'm praying for somebody, I will often say, all right, do me a favor, repeat after me. Jesus bought this healing on the cross, and it belongs to me. I want Jesus to get what he paid for, so I receive my healing. Jesus bought this healing on the cross, so it belongs to me. Jesus bought it for me, right? Jesus bought this healing on the cross for me. I want him to get what he paid for, so I receive my healing. You're just simply repeating truth and reminding that person of what Jesus already did, his will for them, and that he paid for it. And they're repeating, I receive my healing, because Jesus bought their healing for them, right? So I knew everyone got that. Anyone need me to repeat that? We have this recorded. We're putting it on the website. So if you ever need to go back and listen to it, you can listen to it if you miss some notes. When I'm leading a healing meeting or I'm in a group of people, I will ask for testimonies. So let's say I'm out on the street and there's a crowd of people around. And often when you start praying for somebody, people will stop and watch what's going on. They want to see what happens. And if there's a healing, I'll say, hey, what happened? What was the pain like before? And what did you feel? What's going on now? And I'll have them say that testimony. Because when we say testimonies, it encourages people. It lifts their faith. It helps them like, oh my gosh, he is doing something. A miracle can happen. And a miracle is happening. And I saw a miracle right in front of my face. And God is no respecter of persons. And I say that all the time too. God is no respecter of persons. That's what the New Testament says in several different places, several times. He's no respecter of persons. That means if he did it for one person, he would do it for another. Sometimes there are requirements that that person has met in order to get that. But it's available to everybody. It's available to everybody. Okay. Getting testimonies increases faith, increases hope, increases expectation, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. After you've done all the right things, after you've done everything all the prayers that you could think of to pray, and you've done everything that I've told you to do, and if it's still not working, then you just need to get childlike. And I think we talked about this on the first or second night. Get childlike. Like in Costa Rica, we were praying for this lady's hip, and she was not getting healed. And we saw crazy radical miracles. We saw this lady get healed from paralysis and a stroke and amazing things, and nothing was happening. And the Lord told me, you're trying too hard. Because we were just using our religious zealousness and I don't know what we were doing, but apparently what we were doing was not what God wanted us to do, how he wanted us to do it. And he said, you're trying too hard. So we started using finger guns, and it worked. As I think I mentioned, we have healed people with potted plants. We were in Cookout on Ramsey Street, and was it you, Marshall, grabbed a silk plant, whacked Ralph, right? Was it back pain? I think it was back pain too. Whacked Ralph with a silk plant and he got healed. Yes, we were having fun. We were being silly. Well, To a religious person, that just sounds ridiculous. And to me, if I would have heard that years ago, I would have just said that straight out of the pit of hell. There's no way. But after I understand now that it's really the fact that Jesus has already done it, he's already provided it, we are just simply trying to release faith. We just need to be childlike and simple and remember God wants this more than we do. And that's also a good thing to remind yourself when you're praying for somebody and remind other people. God wants you healed more than you want to be healed. How do we know that? He went to the pain of dying on the cross and being tormented for our healing. I mean, that is a strong desire. He paid a huge, enormous price, more than any of us have ever paid for somebody else to get healed. He wants it way more than we do. I like to ask people when I pray for them, I will declare the healing. It is okay to ask God to heal people. But I'll remind you, Jesus and the apostles never asked God to heal somebody. You won't find it in the New Testament. Instead, they commanded it to be done because they knew it was the will of the Lord. And God, Jesus commanded them to heal the sick, not pray for the sick. So they commanded the healing to be done. And oftentimes they told people to participate, to do something. The guy at the crippled man at the gate, beautiful. It doesn't say that Peter looked at him and said, be healed, now stand up. It was the other way around. It says he looked at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, grabbed him by the hand, pulled him up to his feet, and said, what I have, I freely give. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. He grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up. And as the guy was being pulled up, he got healed. This is a radical story, and I don't recommend trying this because this scares me to death. And I can't remember the preacher's name now, but I know this guy. I've met him. He walks in Words of Knowledge more accurate than anyone I've ever seen in my whole life. He has seen hundreds of times praying for people that has metal in their bodies. He'll lay his hand, let's say that Scott has metal in his knee, he'll lay his hand on Scott's knee and pray and bless that knee and pull his hand away and the metal will be melted into his hand. And they will go to the doctor, get x-rays, and there's no metal in their body. He's seen it hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. Well, he was preaching in Africa one time and there was a mother there that handed him a crippled baby. Like had shriveled up legs. And he was on the stage and him and this other guy he was preaching with. And the other guy was on the stage and the mom handed the baby, I don't know, I think it was 5 or 6 or 4 years old or something like that. Shriveled up, mangled legs that never worked. And this guy was preaching, and they had seen a bunch of healings and a bunch of miracles, and it's in it was in a Muslim country. And he was preaching and preaching and preaching, and he saw his associate holding this baby, and he said, throw it off the stage. And he kept preaching, and the guy just held on to the kid, the little kid. And he turned around and said, I said, throw him off the stage. And he kept preaching and preaching. And he went up to him and said, like yelled in his face, throw him off the stage. And the guy finally went like that, just dropped the kid. And it was like a 10-foot drop or something like that. On the way down, the kid's shriveled legs went whoosh, and he landed on his feet and ran straight to his mother. And everyone started screaming. And all these people gave their life to Jesus. It's crazy, but if you look at the miracles of Jesus, very often he had them participate. He had them do something. He had blind people. He spit in the mud, put it on his eye, and said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. He was blind. And he went, bent down in the water, and it says when he washed, he got healed. he had often had them participate in healing. So it's very good to have somebody test that thing out. Or if somebody's got a knee problem, pray for it and then just say, stand up. Right? They're, I can't explain it. When you've prayed for thousands of people, you eventually start figuring out there is something about demanding faith. Even from a person, demanding faith, putting them into a situation, kind of a do or die situation, not like, you know, life or death, but yanking a crippled man up on his feet. There is something about that that, I don't know, it demands that the crippled guy either at least tries to do something or decides, I'm just going to collapse on my feet. There is something about it that, I don't know if it wakes up the person's spirit. I don't know what happens, but there is something that happens. So do not be afraid to ask people to do something. I can't even think of the Bible story now. Who's the guy that went to Israel to get healed and washed in the Jordan River 7 times? Naaman. Okay. Yeah. Was it? Okay. All right. Okay. Couldn't get my story straight there. Why did God do that? Why did he do that? The prophet said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. I'm not going to that muddy, dirty water. Right? And the guy said, if he asked you to go home and do something crazy, you would do it. Like, it's not that crazy. Just do it. There was something about washing in the pool in the Jordan River 7 times that got him healed. There was something he had to do. So participation is good. I like to ask people when I pray for them, be honest, right? Because we want honesty. We don't want lies. We don't want someone trying to tell us that, oh yeah, I'm okay, when they're really not, trying to encourage us or anything like that, especially in a church meeting, especially in a meeting. Some Christians, out of the goodness of their heart, don't want you to be embarrassed if nothing's changed. So they'll just, and especially people of the Word of Faith movement, if you confess that you're actually not healed, then that you're not walking in faith and you're agreeing with the devil. And, you know, sometimes they will literally just make a positive confession, but it's not actually true. We'll say it again. I like the way Bill Johnson says this, that faith does not deny a problem's existence. Faith denies it influence. Faith does not deny a problem's existence. It denies it influence. And I think we talked about this maybe last week or the week before, an airplane. An airplane is able to overcome the law of gravity. The law, it doesn't annihilate the law of gravity. The law of gravity is still working, but it's a different force that's being exerted that actually is superior and overcomes the law of gravity. It's okay to say, yeah, there's cancer in my body. If you have cancer, you have cancer. Saying you don't have cancer does not help you. Saying you don't have a problem does not help you. But saying that the doctors have the last word, or cancer has the last word, or cancer is the highest authority, that's not faith, and that's actually not true. God has the final say. God has the final authority, right? So it's okay to say, admit you have a problem. We also have a solution, and that's Jesus, okay? But I like to ask people when I pray for them, all right, test it out. Is it same, better, or worse? Same, better, or worse? Why do you think I'm asking that question? Huh? It's simple, but there's something specific I'm actually looking for. Okay, if I'm asking them, is it the same? What am I looking to find out? If there's any change. Okay, if I'm asking them better, what am I looking to see? Is there any positive change? Is there any progress, right? Why would I say worse? Huh? Why would there be negative progress? How could there be negative progress? Demonic. I'm looking for the demonic. If you pray for a pain and it gets worse, it's demonic. It's demonic. So I don't say, okay, I'm going to check and see if you have a demon or if nothing is happening or if God is doing a miracle. Okay, which one is it? Right? You don't want to freak people out. So I ask same, better, or worse to get more information. If the pain moves 100%, it's demonic. If it gets worse, 99.99%, it's demonic. Okay? So now you can change your prayer from I release healing to demon, leave. You don't even have to say demon. You could call it pain. You could call it whatever you want. I've cast out demons from unbelievers and they didn't even know it. They were telling me the effects that they were feeling and the freedom that they were feeling and feeling like something lifted off of them. They couldn't describe it. They didn't know what was going on, but I did. But I didn't use language of demon get off. I used different words. So same, better, or worse. Worse is a demon. Better is a miracle. I can't make somebody better all by myself. Only Jesus in me can do that. So if something gets better, I remind the person, did you do that? Because I didn't. I can't do that. You can't do that. God's doing a miracle. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle. And then you bless the better. You bless the better. And I actually like to ask percentages. Percentage-wise, how are you compared to before we prayed? Oh, I'm 50% better, 40% better, 75% better, whatever it is. And I say, thank God, that's a miracle. Thank you, Lord. We bless what you're doing. I'll even say 50%, go to 60, go to 70. In Jesus' name, go all the way to 100. All right, move it around. Check it again. How is it? Well, it was 50%. Now it's 70%, you know, and then you just keep thanking the Lord for the miracle and you keep going and going and going and you release life. You release life and you command the healing. What if it's the same? Pray again. What if it's the same after that? Keep going, but you start asking different questions. That's when I start asking different questions. All right, Lord, is there a block here? Is there some way that we should be praying differently? Right? Is there something I should be doing? Is there something they should be doing? You're just asking to try and find out, you know, do they need to participate in moving their body around? Is this an unforgiveness issue? Is this some other issue? Something subconscious that the person doesn't even realize. Some people get identity. A lot of us get identity in some of our brokenness. And we get used to it. And we actually get attention in our brokenness. And we may, with our mind, want to be free. But deep down in our heart, we're afraid to be free. Because then why will we get attention? If this thing is gone, will people still pay attention to me? Will they still love me? And those are often unanswered, subterranean, subconscious things rumbling around in our heart. But sometimes it's a block. Our brain says, yeah, I want to get healed. But our heart is saying, no, I'm not ready. And it's interesting. Jesus never assumed what anybody wanted, ever. A blind guy came up to him one time. And Jesus asked the crazy question, what do you want me to do for you? If a blind person came up to me, I'd be like, oh, okay. Especially during a healing service, right? All right, I know what he wants. But Jesus never assumed that. He never assumed that this guy wants his blindness taken away. Which is awesome that he respects our free will so much. But he didn't assume. All right. Any questions on that? Any questions on the practicality of praying for healing? When you can, lay hands on it. When you can. Or at least put your hand on their shoulder and always ask. Always ask. Don't assume, always ask. Especially if it is a member of the opposite sex. But I like to always ask anyway, hey, can I put my hand on your shoulder? Sometimes if you want to put your hand on the pain, on the spot where the pain is, they'll let you. If it's not quite so appropriate, you can ask them, okay, can you put your hands over that spot? Right? Let's say someone's having pain in their chest. Put your hands over that spot. And they put their hands over it, and then you can just kind of put your fingers over top, right? You can do things like that. But if you can, lay hands on them. There is something about an impartation and the laying on of hands that works. The woman with the flow of blood, why didn't she say, man, if I can just get near Jesus, I'll get healed? Or if I can just get him to turn and look at me, I'll get healed. She said, no, if I can just touch him. And as soon as she touched him, power came out of his body. There's something about the touch. Any questions, any comments, anything real quick? Multiple things. Good question. Sometimes I'll tackle them all at once. Sometimes you just go for one thing at a time. And there can be different things that have different spiritual roots and different blockages. Now, again, we don't want to just go straight for the, okay, God, tell me all the reasons why they got this and all the reasons why there could be a block and all the reasons why it hasn't gone. Just go for the healing. Just go for the healing because God wants them healed. You only start asking those questions if you start running into obstacles and your prayers are just not working. Tackle them one at a time. And or just both. Body, be healed. Body, come into alignment with the health and wholeness of Jesus. And sometimes I've done that and seen one thing get healed and another thing not. That lady in New Jersey that I talked about that broke her back twice, that was an example. She had several things wrong with her body. I called out words of knowledge. Some people around her prayed. She got healed of two or three things, but her back didn't. So those two or three things that she had pain, for some reason, just left when somebody prayed for her. But the back was an unforgiveness issue, a self-unforgiveness issue. And until that was removed, she wasn't getting healed. So does that answer your question? Yeah? Okay. Anybody else before we move on to something different? Okay. I'm surprised no one asked about oil or anything like that. But now that I brought it up, I probably have to say something, right? About oil. It's okay to use anointing oil. That's fine. It's a representation of the Holy Spirit. The elders, we forget in the Bible that local churches, for the most part, didn't have elders. Some of them did, the big ones did, but for the most part, a elder was an elder of a city, of a bunch of house churches and believers. And so when James says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call on the elders, it's the equivalent of saying, go to the spiritually mature people in your city that are recognized as spiritually mature people in your city. And let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save that man. So oil, James was one of the first books, if not the first book written in the New Testament. It was early on in the Jewish Christians' experience, and they were acquainted with oil. But obviously, as you look in the book of Acts, most of the healings that happened, I don't know if any of them in the book of Acts happened because of oil. And Jesus didn't walk around anointing people with oil. He just healed them. And the disciples used oil sometimes, and sometimes they didn't. So it's okay, but you definitely don't need it. And it actually can turn into a crutch. It can turn into a magic talisman. Like wearing a cross can somehow protect you. It's just a piece of metal. It does not protect you. If you believe it does and you take it off, then guess what? You have faith that you're not protected, right? That's not a good thing. So oil can kind of turn into that type of thing as well. So I used it early on, and I just pretty much stopped. But it's not wrong. All right, let's talk about words of knowledge real quick, how to get words of knowledge. I'll tell you two quick stories. just about words of knowledge in public. And one of them was up in Raleigh. We went to a farmer's market up in Raleigh. And we decided we're just going to go out in public and pray for people. So we were just being intentional to see some healings. And so when we walked in the farmer's market, I was like, okay, Lord, just point out somebody. Lord, open a door. Who do you want to heal today? And as soon as I turned and looked in this direction, like over here somewhere towards this vendor, all of a sudden I got this pain in my body. And I kept kind of scanning and looking around, and it wasn't there. I went, looked back again, and the pain came back when I looked in that same spot. And I was like, okay, there's somebody over there that's got a pain. And I honestly don't remember what part of the body it was. But this pain came when I was looking in a certain direction. So I said, okay, Lord, who is it? And I walked over there. And as I walked, I was just attracted to this particular person. And I was just kind of chit-chatting, trying to draw some stuff out. And nothing spiritual was happening in the conversation. And I couldn't figure out how to casually slip in, hey, is there anything wrong with your body? So finally, after trying for several minutes, I just went, all right, forget it. And I just told him, this is about to get weird, but, you know, and I like to do that. When I go to Walmart, I will say this, hey, this is going to be a really weird question and it might make you super uncomfortable. And then I pause. And what are they expecting? Something super weird and super uncomfortable. So when I ask them, hey, do you have pain in your knee? Okay, that's not that weird. I was expecting like really weird. But if you just walked up and said, hey, do you have pain in your knee to a perfect stranger? They'd be like, why the heck are you asking? And who are you and what business is it of yours? Right? So I like to raise the bar really high of weirdness. And then when it's not that weird, it's better. Right? So I just literally said, this is going to be weird. But hey, do you have pain in your body in this place? And they were like, how did you know that? And I just said, I looked over here and I saw you. And the Lord told me, I didn't tell him I got this pain. I said, the Lord told me, because that's how he communicates sometimes to me. The Lord told me that you had pain in this spot. And they were like, oh my gosh. And I said, and he told me because he wants you to be healed. Will you let me pray for you? And we prayed and this person got healed. This was several years ago, but on Fort Bragg on Tuesday at lunchtime, before we even moved into Fayetteville, we were still living in Raleigh. We decided every Tuesday at lunchtime, we're just going to go on base. We're going to go to the mini mall on base and we're just going to pray for the sick. And there's soldiers walking in and out, going to lunch, getting lunch, and you know, everyone's airborne and jumping and rucking and marching, and there's always 100% of the time you will find somebody limping. 100% of the time. So if you want some healing victims, just go on base. Hang out by the mini mall at lunch. You will see them. Well, we did that a bunch of times and saw some cool healings and stuff. But one time I was meeting a friend there, a soldier, and he was bringing some friends because he told them, we're going to go pray for people at lunchtime. And so he brought some fellow soldiers who wanted to see this spectacle. And some of them did not believe. They're like, dude, you're crazy. And he's like, just come and watch and see. And so I saw him. I walked up. And as I was walking, all of a sudden, I got this really bad headache. Like hard. It came on really fast and really hard. And I walked up. And then all of a sudden, it went away. And I knew what God was saying. And I said hi to my friend. And I'm like, hey, man, how are you? He introduced me to his friends. And I said, which one of you has a really bad headache right now? And none of them said a word. None of them. And I said, are you sure none of you have a headache right now? No. None of them said a word. I said, okay. You know, I'm weird. And they giggled, and then we went and prayed for some people, and I think we saw some healings. I don't really even remember. But what I didn't find out until the next day was after they left me and were walking away, one of his friends, my friend's friend, turned to him and said, I was the one with the headache. How the hell did he know that? Like, he was freaked out. And he said, I told you, God still speaks today. Why didn't you say anything? He's like, dude, I was just freaked out. So words of knowledge, you can see them, you can hear them, you can feel them, you can read them, and you can know them. Okay, you can see them, hear, feel, read, know. Sometimes you can just see stuff on people. Well, obviously you can see, you know, casts and limps and things like that. But you can see in the spirit sometimes something that's going on with somebody. Or you can just sense it, right? Somehow hazy with your eyes, you know there's something going on. Reading it, this is never, well, I take it back. This has happened to me before. There's several people that I know and several people that I know of that have had this happen. They can read words printed in the air above somebody's head. What's wrong with them? Sometimes their names. Sometimes their sin, if God wants to heal them. I would have to look up this guy's name because I can't remember, but he's a prophet. And he wrote some awesome book called Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. He was a conservative Christian theologian and Surprised by the Voice of God. I'd have to look it up to remember his name. But he had a kid walk into his class, and he was like the most charismatic, amazing Christian guy in this Christian college. And everyone thought he's going to be like a mega church pastor guy. And the kid walked into his office and he saw the word pornography written in the air over his head. And it's the first time he ever saw that, ever. And he was just like, couldn't believe it. And after they talked for a long time, he just finally asked him. He just said, this is crazy, but I see the word pornography written over your head. And the kid just broke down bawling and said, I'm in bondage and I need help and I'm so ashamed. And like, the kid got free. And it was the first time this guy had ever experienced that. And he saw it. I've seen stuff like that, not like crazy clear, but I've seen some stuff clear enough that I know. Casey's seen it. I know some other people that have seen that. You can read it in the air or read it on their body. You can see it. You can hear it. God can whisper in your ear, the still small voice. You can feel it, like pain in your body. This is the most common way that I get words of knowledge, that the Lord communicates healing to me. Is he'll just poke me in the hip, or he'll give me a sensation in a part of my body when I'm asking. We can actually practice this. We will practice this in a second. You can just know it, right? Just like you know things, you can just know that somebody's got something. You can also see it in this way. Have you ever watched like a crime show or something and somebody dies and they make a chalk outline of the person's body where they were laying, right? Well, you can imagine a chalk outline of a human body in the air. You can close your eyes. It might be easier, but you imagine a chalk outline of someone's body. And then you say, Lord, who do you want to heal? What do you want to do tonight? And you can see flashes or a picture or something in a certain part of the body, that the outline you're imagining, the knee on the head, some part down in here. You can see it in that regard, in your mind's eye. That is a way that God speaks. So there's lots of different ways that you can get words of knowledge like that. So this is what I would like to do. Does anyone need me to repeat those? You got them? Okay. Any questions on that before we actually practice? No? Is anyone freaked out right now? No? No one's scared? Okay. Yeah, we've done this enough here. There's nothing to be scared about. 'Cause there's no pressure, right? Okay, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to just take a deep breath. And say, it's not up to me. It's not up to me. I'll just remind you right now. God wants to give you a word of knowledge more than you want to get one, okay? Yes? So, don't try harder than God, all right? You just relax. Now, just be aware of your physical body. Not like, you know, crazy, but if you walked in here with a bunch of knee pain, you know, you had that pain before you started. So we're just going to ask the Lord, we're going to pray, and the Lord's just going to give you a sensation or poke you in some part of your body. Or if you're more visual, you can imagine that chalk outline of a human body and wait for something to light up, possibly. Or you can just wait and listen. You know, just be still and let God speak. Okay? We good? Take another deep breath. All right, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us. I better do the same thing, I guess. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you love to speak. A good dad talks with his kids, and you are eager to heal. You're eager to communicate to us. You're eager to equip us. So we ask, Lord, that you would give us words of knowledge for an issue that somebody in this room right now might be having. Would you poke us in the part of the body, Lord? Would you put a flash, a visual? Speak to us, Lord. Okay, that's it. I don't do it for very long. You know why? Because the longer we wait, the more likely you're just going to stir something up in your imagination. God is eager. Often when you ask him stuff, he'll answer before you're even done with the question. I often get words of knowledge before I even ask the question, or in the middle of asking the question, or I ask the question and then all of a sudden you got something. So, who maybe thinks that possibly you might have possibly gotten a word of knowledge, maybe? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high. Okay. We're just going to share. What do you think you got? Okay. Did you feel that? Did you see that? How do you know?
I felt it, but then I was also imagining the chalk
that one as well. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Who else had maybe? You did? How do you know that? How did you receive that? Okay, so you felt it or you saw it? You saw it. Okay, who else? Raise your hand. Who else? Raise your hand. Tia, yeah. Right, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, this started right when I prayed or? Okay, left eye. Like twitchy and itchy? Okay, but you don't have it right now. Okay, all right, okay. Who else may have possibly might have thinks maybe they got a word of knowledge? Did you see it, feel it, hear it? Yeah, okay. Right over pain right over your right eye. Anybody else maybe possibly might have maybe gotten a word of knowledge? Yeah. No more back pain. Did you see that, hear it, feel it? You felt it. Okay. So while I was praying, you just lower back pain and now it's not there? Okay, cool. All right. Is there anybody in the room that has any of those issues that were described? Yes. Okay. Raise your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. What?
Like in 1993, I had a fall and I got whiplash. And from time to time, the right side, because the muscle was injured.
Okay. So in 1993, you got in a car accident, and every once in a while, the right side of your neck.
Right, and then when it hurts, I mean, it's something where I really have to pay attention to it, you know, things to it, stretch it out and everything, because it was a really deep injury. It wasn't a bone injury, but it was really deep muscular.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Brayden, come over and shoot Marcia in the neck. It was Brayden. Shoot her in the neck and then tell her to move it around. All right, did... You, who else had, what was the word of knowledge that got called out? The lower back pain. Okay. How long have you had that? Years. Is it constant or it comes and goes? It comes and goes? Okay. Okay. Do you have pain right now? Okay. It was hurting when you came in, but sometime during the meeting it stopped hurting. Okay. Can we pray for you though? Deborah, you got the word of knowledge for the back pain? Yeah? Okay. Do you mind standing up? And we'll have Deborah just lay hands on you and bless that back, command that pain never to come back. Anybody else have anything that I don't think anybody did, but that doesn't mean we can't pray for that. There was also you got back pain too, Scott, right? Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have, you said pain right in here? Right underneath the ribs. Anybody having problems? It may not be pain right now. It could be a problem. Yeah. Okay. So just shoot it right there and command that to be better. Release that healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. So this is also one of those things that... you just have to practice. It's like anything. If you want to get good at it, you have to practice it. And you have to be intentional. And from what I've experienced, the more intentional we are, the more willing God is to speak to us. God's just not going to keep giving us stuff and giving us stuff and giving us stuff and giving us stuff if we never, ever use it. Right? So, we need to be willing to go out and go for it and step out and take a risk, and God will anoint us. God will speak to us. God will use us. So, did I hear you say that you felt heat? Yeah? Awesome. Okay, cool. We're good. Thank you. You guys can sit down. You just move your back around a little bit. Just move it around a bit. See if there's any difference that you can notice, but you didn't have pain before, so we have no way of really kind of proving it. Marcia, you did not have pain when we were praying, right?
I didn't know who was talking, and when they were saying it, I said, well, I'll just check to see, because
mm-hmm.
And when I did, it went pop, out. So then it started hurting.
Okay.
He could tell when he was finger, there was a big knot there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So if you make it pop again. Yeah, felt like a knob and now it's... Yeah. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. All right. John Wimber started, I guess, not really the healing movement. There was a huge healing movement in the 1950s, but in the 1980s, he started, resurrecting the healing ministry again, and it started spreading the charismatic renewal. And he used to say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. One of the examples is, never mind. I won't. Don't need to bother sharing that. We have some other stuff we got to get to. But I just am telling you, if you want to see miracles, you got to step out and go for it. You got to put Jesus to the test, so to speak. Right? It works. It works. Test his kingdom. It works. Release his kingdom. Declare his kingdom. It says that signs will follow those who believe. So we believe, we do the stuff, and the signs and the miracles follow after us. We're always looking for a sign and a leading, but we are leading. The signs and miracles follow us. We do the leading. Right? Yeah. Okay. All right. Praying for PTSD real quick. I am going to give each and every one of you a handout. It's a front and back page. Some of you that were here for the healing PTSD thing we did a couple years ago may already have one. I will give you another one. So you don't necessarily need to take notes on this, but I do want you to just pay attention to a couple things, and then I will physically give you this paper, okay? What is PTSD? Post-traumatic stress disorder. What causes it? There's, yeah, primarily trauma. So what is going on in PTSD? There's a lot of things going on in PTSD, several things. That's why it's not a super cut and dry deal. Usually there's something demonic going on that took advantage of the trauma, okay? There's usually demonic oppression going on. So there needs to be deliverance that happens. There is often, not always, but often an unforgiveness component, okay? And often it is self-unforgiveness. One of the things that soldiers experience, especially when they lose somebody, is survivor's guilt. They're a brotherhood, and they make commitments to each other. And especially if a lot of soldiers die in a unit, and there's some surviving members of that unit, they wonder, why me? Why did I survive? I didn't deserve to survive any more than they deserve to die. And there can be survivor's guilt. So often there needs to be forgiveness declared. Sometimes there needs to be forgiveness declared to whoever it was that caused the trauma. So there's usually, not always, but usually a forgiveness component. There's usually a demonic component. And I would say almost always there's a, for lack of better word, a disassociation that happens. If you read in Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, she explains more detail how the brain actually works. And the unhealthier our brain gets, the more disconnected the synapses get. There's disconnection and disassociation. And as a survival mechanism, as a coping mechanism, there's a disassociation that happens. And there's several specific things that we can pray to reconnect some things, but also break some things off, okay? So I'll give you the handout. But one, when you're praying for PTSD, and this isn't just soldiers. This is rape victims. This can be car accidents. This can be any kind of traumatic situation. It can be a divorce. It can be an abuse situation. It can actually be watching violence, watching somebody get abused. That is traumatic. That can cause PTSD. So there's lots of situations that can cause PTSD. So you want to tell the person what you're going to do and receive their permission to do it. Ask them to lay hands. You don't always have to, but look them in the eye. Explain to them that you're going to pray for them. Ask them if that's okay. Look them in the eye. If they have served in the military, thank them for their service. Honor them for what they have done, their sacrifice that they have made. And you don't have to have them relive the trauma. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. You can ask them, where do you think this came from? Have them briefly explain the situation. That's all you really need to know. Two, you need to declare the forgiveness of God to them. Okay? God forgives us. If we receive it, he forgives us. He's already forgiven us. Okay? It's a gift he's already given. We just have to unpack it. And that's a choice of every human being. So we don't need to check with God if he forgives this person. He already did. The prodigal son came home. When did the father forgive the prodigal son? At what point? Before he even left, right? He even paid for his trip to go sin. Before he even left, the father forgave him. And we know that's true because he kept looking out for him to come home. And when he saw him on the horizon, he ran out to him and started kissing him. He didn't wait for the excuses. He didn't say, you know what, until that boy admits that he was wrong, right? He forgave him before he even left the house. And it's the same with us. So we want to declare the forgiveness of God over them. Ask them if there might be anything between them and God, and allow them a chance to repent, to renounce any sins, and help them forgive people that have hurt them or that hurt somebody that they loved. Okay. Often in a home situation, this is just the way it is. Human nature. The men are the protectors of the outside of the home. The men are the protectors of danger coming from outside of the home into the home. But when it comes to inside the house, children primarily see the mother as the protector. So if abuse goes on, let's say a husband is abusing the children or abusing the wives, is crazy, and the kids know that the dad was wrong, but very often they'll be angry, especially subconsciously, at the mother, because they see the mother as the protector inside the home. So if there has been abuse, and it's very obvious the father did the abuse, we think that's obvious, forgive the dad, but we don't think to have that person forgive the mom for not stopping it, or forgive the mom for not protecting, or it could be vice versa. Okay, we can't always just assume the obvious. We have to look at where there may be unforgiveness. Who did not protect who? And often there's some unforgiveness towards God because, God, you didn't stop this. You let this happen. Okay, so we're simply releasing God from our judgments and our perceived debt that we perceive that he owes us, even though he doesn't owe us anything. Okay, declare. You want to break off any feelings of shame, guilt, condemnation for anything that the person has done, anything the person was ordered to do, anything that was done to them. Break off responsibility for those experiences or actions, especially in the military. They have commands, right? So break off that guilt. There's often guilt. There's often condemnation. Children that get sexually abused often feel guilty that they did something wrong. Even though they can't figure out what it could have been, the devil lies to them and says somehow it's their fault. Break off that guilt. Break off that shame. Cancel every assignment of the devil against that person's mind, against that person's body, and any evil spirits that cause fear, anxiety, worry, etc. And this is important. Our bodies have memory. They've proven this. Our bodies have memory. Our mind has memory, but our bodies have memory. When there's a traumatic experience, our whole body, like if you're about to get into a car accident and you see it coming, your body just tenses up. Your brain remembers that, but your body, the cells of your body, also remember that. They remember that feeling. There's trauma in the cells, and you break that off of the mind, but also the soul, and off of the body. And obviously break off any demonic thing that took advantage of that trauma. You also want to, speak healing. Okay, so you just declare healing over the broken heart of that person that was caused by the traumatic experiences. You want to speak healing to their mind and the wounds. Pray for the traumatic images and the memories to dry up and die. Like, break off. So I often say, I break the trauma of this memory in Jesus' name. And may you look back at that situation and there be no fear, no trauma, no pain in Jesus' name. So you're severing the feelings of trauma from the actual memory itself. And oftentimes, somebody can think back on something that used to traumatize them, and they can remember that, and there's no fear there anymore. There's no trauma there anymore. It's just like, yeah, one day I ate an apple. You know, one day this bad thing happened, but there's no difference in feeling. And that's a good thing. So you want to speak healing to that. You pray for the memory center to function normally. And then any disassociation, unhealthy disassociation, you want that to be healed, okay? You can speak healing over the different parts of the body that have been affected, over the different systems, the nervous system, the endocrine system, the muscular system, the immune system. And then you just, you bless them. You bless them, so... I'm going to give you this handout after we're done so you don't get distracted by it. Does anybody have any questions? Does anybody have any comments? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, don't do that. For the sake of the recording, do not take people back into those traumatic memories and make them relive them. Caroline Leaf even talks about that because there are some healing modalities that do that. And you can actually make it worse. You can make those memories stronger. The more you relive them, the stronger you make them. It's not necessary. We don't need to do that. It's not necessary to do it, so don't do it. Especially when it comes to PTSD, don't do it. Here's another fact about PTSD. Researchers have figured out that there is a predisposition to PTSD. Certain people can relive the exact same situation, and some people will be okay. They'll be able to function normally after it, and other people cannot. They just get full-blown, crazy, hardcore PTSD. What's the difference? The more neglect, the more abuse, the unhealthier our childhood was, the higher the predisposition for us to interpret future bad things badly. There's a predisposition to it. That's just to kind of help explain why some people really seem to not do well in situations when other people do. The healthier we've responded as a child, and the healthier our perspective is, the healthier we're going to handle traumatic events in the future. And the opposite is true. So it's not always just 100% this situation. It's rooted in some other things. And these things can come off in layers as well. Okay? That's a process. So any other questions, comments? It's usually helpful to do it with somebody else, but you can do anything for yourself. You really can. Because truth is truth, right? part of the reason it's helpful for other people to minister to us is because, one, we're our own worst advocate. So for some reason, if I say, you're a nice person, Stacy, I say that to myself, my heart doesn't really, it's like I said it to myself, my heart doesn't really receive it. If somebody else or a couple of somebody else's say the same words to me, it comes with a different force. Does that make sense? I think we all can understand that. Where there is something about other people's voices, because we're always constantly talking to ourselves, right? We're used to our own voice, and we don't give ourselves a whole lot of credit sometimes. So it's helpful in that regard, but especially when it comes to traumatic or emotional situations, it's hard to think straight, and it's hard to remember, oh, wait, what do I pray? And you know, what is the truth again? We're just thinking about the pain, and we're thinking about the trauma. So it is necessary sometimes. It depends on the situation. But if you can do it, if you can handle it, you can pray these things. You can read this card and pray these things over yourself and bless yourself. And we should be blessing ourselves. We should be declaring the truth. We should be breaking stuff off of ourselves. We should be doing that. So it's a good thing. Any other questions, comments? No? Okay. I want to jump into just real quick how to fail at praying for the sick. So I have literally seen thousands of healings. And one of the reasons thousands, not because I've prayed one-on-one with thousands of people. I may have. But I've been in meetings where there's been hundreds of people healed all at once. But I literally have seen thousands of people healed. But I've also seen hundreds of people not healed, at least not healed instantly. And so this is what I like to say almost every single time. I tell that person after we've had a good go at it, after we've tried everything that we can try, first of all, I tell them, don't give up. It's God's will for you to be healed, okay? Don't give up. Keep going for it. Keep believing. But before that, I will usually say, if I want you to know, if Jesus were here in the flesh right now, you would be healed. There's not one person that came to Jesus and asked him for healing that he said no to. Not one. He healed every single person that asked him. So if he were here right now in the flesh, just know you would be healed. So please don't blame this on God. Let's chalk this up to the fact that I am still learning. All we're doing is telling the truth. That is the truth, that if Jesus were here in the flesh, they would be healed. It's also true that I'm still learning. Okay? That leaves them walking away, one, hopefully not blaming God. Yes, they're blaming me, and they should. Because I'm supposed to be representing Jesus Christ, and I didn't represent him accurately. Sometimes I'll say that too. I did not represent Jesus accurately today. Because if Jesus were here in the flesh, you would have got healed. So I didn't represent him accurately. And I'm sorry for that. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. Okay? We need to take responsibility, because it isn't God's fault. It's our fault. The fact that this world is not healed is our fault, because we're not doing it. If there were a million Jesuses, there would be no sickness and no disease on planet Earth, right? But there's not a million Jesuses. There's a million little Jesuses that are still growing and sometimes too afraid to step out and do anything. And that's the reason there's still sickness and disease on this earth. So I almost always try and say that, okay? That way they walk away knowing God loves them. It's still God's will for them to be healed. They still could be healed in the future. They're not angry at God. They're not blaming God. They're at least blaming me. And most people will have mercy on me that I'm still growing and learning, because they couldn't deliver the goods either, right? But I tell them, but know this, God loves you so much. He died on the cross to heal you of your sicknesses and to set you free from your sin. Don't give up. He loves you. Most people walk away from that situation feeling very blessed that another human being took time out to look after their interest, to look after something that is, you know, possibly heavy on their heart. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does anybody have anything better than that that they say or like to say or any insight or input on that? No? Okay. Tenacity, tenacity, tenacity. Tenacity. All right. I think for sake of time, we're going to have to leave it at that. It's 8:45. This is our last one. You do have a question. Okay, yes, questions. We're question and answer time. Yes, we're going to have healing rooms next year. We're going to have healing rooms. So we will be healing the sick. We will open up this building to our city to come get prayer for whatever anybody needs prayer for, even if it's just prophetic encouragement. And I'm hoping you all will be willing to be the ministry team. So we will continue to do some more training next year. I would love to go out on the streets. That's the best way to demonstrate healing, is to just see it, watch it happen. Oh, by the way, I like to have unbelievers pray for the sick. I've seen unbelievers heal the sick. God can do it. He can do it. We've seen it happen. If there's two people and one of them needs healing, I'll sometimes have the one guy put his hand on the other friend and say, repeat after me, in Jesus' name, pain leave, right? All right, now tell them to check it. Tell them to move it around. And then they get shocked when the person gets healed. They get shocked, right? I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing in so many ways. One, because they both know they didn't deserve it. They weren't fasting, they weren't praying, they're not even Christians, they're not honoring God at all. And God, the fact that, one, God would heal the person, and then two, the fact that God would use someone that knows they're not holy and knows they're not right with God demonstrates the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God. It's awesome. I love to do that. I love to see it. I will also, when people get healed, I'll ask them after they get healed, do you know why that just happened? And most of the time they go, yeah, because I believed, or some other thing. And I say, well, yeah, partly, but it's because God loves you. It's because God loves you. That's why they got healed, because God loves them. And that's the primary message we want people to know, is it's a demonstration of God's grace and mercy and compassion and love. It's because of his love. Any other questions? Any other comments? No? You sure? Last chance. Yes. You obviously don't know us because... you don't know how to refuse when... Yeah. Oh, I've had hundreds of people... Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes what I do, I mean, I do like to ask people because I like to honor them and I want them to feel loved. But occasionally, literally, I'll just, oh, hey, what happened to your knee? Oh, really? That's crazy. In Jesus' name, pain, go. Check it out. And, you know, I don't even give them a chance. But I won't touch people without asking. I just will not do it. Just don't do it. It's very dishonoring, very disrespectful. You know, it depends. If it's a young guy, you know, I know he can handle it. He thinks he's macho and amazing anyway. And, you know, his ego would get bruised if he admitted, you just offended me. You know, if it's a lady, I usually don't do that. It depends on the person. You know, it's hard. It's hard when people reject you. But you just need to remember, one, you're blessed, right? You're blessed because Jesus said you're blessed if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. But two, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting God. Yeah. It's still, it hurts. It does. It's hard. It's hard. But you know what? Who will reject you more than anybody? Christians. Christians will say no more than anybody. You know why? One, pride, but two, most of us, and I hate to say this because I'm part of the church. I love the church. I want the church to get healed and be whole. We honestly believe more in the power of the devil than we do in the power of God. Right? Because you could be into witchcraft. And if you touch me and lay hands on me, I don't know you, and you could give me a demon. That's usually why Christians say no. Usually. Or fear, right? God doesn't heal anymore. They have some theology. God doesn't heal anymore. So if you're going around saying that you heal people, it's obviously Beelzebub that's healing through you. And so, you know, get away from me, Satan. sadly, it's the Christians who will reject you more often than the non-Christians. It's just, yeah, sad but true. It just is true. Yep. Same thing, right? It'd be the Pharisees that would say no before the prostitute and the sinners would say no. Same thing. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. So you're in good company. Any other comments? Any other questions? I don't know. Yeah, we should be doing it as we go. I pray for people on Fort Bragg all the time. You should be doing it where you're going, but yeah, it's fun to go out as a group. Let's pray real quick. Can we do that? Just stand up. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your power. Lord, you are powerful. You are powerful. You are powerful. And you are real. We do not see enough demonstrations of your power. Lord, we need to see more. The reality is you are powerful and you can do anything. And in Jesus' name, I command all sickness to leave everybody in this church right now. Go. Every demonic spirit that has come against the children of God, I command you, come up and out in Jesus' name. You will leave. Your time is up. Go in Jesus' name. No more oppressing our bodies. No more oppressing our souls. No more oppressing our minds. You're a liar and you're a thief. And all you do is steal and you kill and you destroy. Jesus came to give us life, not death. He came to give us healing, not sickness. So we command sickness go. Death go. Slow death go. Every form of it, all fear, go in Jesus' name. Lord, just fill us with a holy boldness. Fill us with your passion. Fill us with your love, Lord, that we wouldn't be able to let sick people walk by us. The love and the compassion for them would just overwhelm us, would compel us to get out of our own comfort zone, to overcome our fear, and to go bring the kingdom of God. Lord, your kingdom come. Heaven's culture, all of heaven, come to earth. That's what you want, Lord. You told us to pray that. Heaven come. Heaven come. Heaven come. Heaven come in Fayetteville. Heaven come in our bodies and our minds. Wow. Point at your chest. Blast yourself. Ha! Thank you, Holy Spirit. Blast your neighbor. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We honor you. You're awesome. We love you. We love you. We love you. I commission you. You are an exorcist. You are commanded to cast out demons. You are a healer. You're commanded to heal the sick. You are a dead raiser. You are a good news preacher. In Jesus' name, that's who you are. Priests of the Most High God, sent to represent heaven. Amen.